Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building one of those small but lethal jungle moves, taking a clean 808 tail and turning it into a saturated, characterful low-end hit with minimal CPU load in Ableton Live 12. The goal is not just to distort a bass sample, the goal is to make it behave like a proper D&B element. Short, readable, punchy, and rude in the right way. Something that can sit behind a break, answer a snare, or punch through a drop without turning the whole low-end into a swamp. And that's the key mindset here. Treat the 808 tail like an edit first, and a sound design object second. In jungle and old-school D&B, if the source isn't trimmed to phrase length, no amount of saturation is going to make it feel intentional. So start clean. Drop your 808 tail into Sampler or onto an audio track and do the boring-sounding move that actually makes the sound better. Trim it. Remove any silence before the hit. Decide whether you want the transient to stay or not. If this is supposed to feel more like a bass punctuation, trim right in so the body starts immediately. If you want a little more of the hit, leave a touch of the front edge, but keep it tight. Now listen carefully to the decay. In jungle, tails are often shorter than your first instinct. That's because the drums are moving fast, and the bass has to make room for the swing. A long, smeared tail can make the groove feel lazy. A tighter tail feels more urgent, more purposeful, more like a classic record. What to listen for here is the moment the sample stops sounding like a generic 808 and starts sounding like part of the phrase. If it feels like it's hanging over the bar, it's probably too long. Now, before we start adding any effects, make sure the sample is controlled at the source. Keep the playback simple. One instance, one sample, no unnecessary modulation. If you're using Sampler, one shot can work really well if the sample is already trimmed. If you want the note length to shape the tail, use a mode that respects note duration. The point is to keep the workflow light and predictable. Also, give yourself some headroom. Don't slam the sample straight into distortion at full level. Let the saturator do its job. If the input is already clipping in a messy way, you lose control before the tone even starts. Now we get to the real choice. How do you want to saturate it? The cleanest and cheapest route is saturator first. Put Ableton's saturator directly after the sample and start somewhere around 3 to 8 dB of drive. That's usually enough to wake up the harmonics without wrecking the low end. If you want a denser, more contained shape, turn soft clip on. That can help the tail feel thicker and more managed, especially in a busy break. If you want more transient attitude, more knock, and a dirtier front edge, try drum bus instead. Keep it moderate. Don't overcook the boom unless the sample is really underweight. For this kind of jungle bass punctuation, you usually want the tail to hit, bloom, and get out of the way, not turn into a flabby thud. A good rule is simple. Choose saturator when you want thickness and control. Choose drum bus when you want a little more aggression and punch. Both can work. The difference is whether you want the sound to feel more like a printed bass tone or more like a gritty drum bass hybrid. What to listen for is this. With saturator, the tail should thicken without getting brittle. With drum bus, the front edge should wake up, but the tail should still stay tight. If it starts to blur, back off. Now let's shape the tone with a lean stock chain, because this is where you get the character without burning CPU. A varied efficient setup is EQ8 into saturator into utility. EQ8 first to clean up anything useless, saturator second to generate the harmonics from a cleaner signal, and utility at the end to manage gain or keep the sound mono. That's a great all-purpose chain. Another good option is saturator into EQ8 into compressor, but only if you really need the dynamics control. Usually, if the sample is edited properly, you won't need much compression at all. And that's a big point here. In D&B, if you can solve the problem with source trimming and tasteful drive, that's usually better than stacking more processing. In EQ8, use restraint. If there's junk below the real bass fundamental, you can gently clean that up. If the saturation creates boxy mud, a small cut somewhere around the low mid area can help, often around 200 to 450 Hz. Don't hollow it out. The whole point is to keep the weight while opening enough space for the break to breathe. Why this works in D&B is simple. The bass has to survive loud drums, dense fills, and club playback. Saturation creates upper harmonics, and those harmonics make the tail readable on smaller speakers without you needing to just crank the volume. That's the whole trick. You're not only making it dirtier, you're making it audible in a musical way. Now, if you want movement, automate it. Don't leave the tail frozen in place if the arrangement wants a little evolution. You can automate drive, the EQ shape, or even the tail length from phrase to phrase. A very classic jungle move is to start the loop with a slightly cleaner 808 tail, then increase the drive a touch in the second half of the phrase. It's subtle, but it creates lift. It makes the bass feel like it's becoming more dangerous as the section progresses. That's powerful stuff. And here's a practical performance note. If the sound already works musically, stop there. Seriously, don't keep tweaking because you can. If it lands, supports the drums, and doesn't fold the low end, commit it. Print it. Save your CPU for the rest of the track. That brings us to one of the most important moves in this lesson, resampling. Once the tail sounds right against the drums, record it to a new audio track. Print the processed result. This freezes the character, saves CPU, and turns the sound into something you can edit like a proper jungle producer. Now you can trim it, chop it, reverse it, nudge it, or pitch it without keeping a live effects chain open the whole time. That's a huge workflow win, because once it's printed, it stops being a plugin setting and starts being an actual recordable part of the arrangement. And this is where the lesson becomes more musical. A printed saturated 808 tail can be placed like a motif. You can use a slightly longer one at the end of a phrase, a shorter one for a turnaround, and maybe a more clipped version to answer a snare fill. Same source, different job. Now bring the drums back in. This is the real test. What to listen for now is whether the tail smears into the kick attack. It shouldn't. And whether it hides the ghost notes or the break texture. It shouldn't do that either. If it's masking the kick, shorten it or reduce the drive. If it's masking the break, make a small cut in the low mid area or trim the decay again. In many cases, the cleanest fix is simply making the source shorter. That's often better than reaching for a compressor. If you need the tail to sit behind a busy jungle break, keep the ducking subtle. A light compressor keyed from the break can help, but use it as a last touch, not as the main solution. In jungle, pocket is better than obvious pumping. The groove should feel like the tail is reacting to the drums, not sitting on top of them. Now let's talk about stereo, because this is where people often break the low end. Keep the weight mono. Always. If you want width, do it carefully and only on higher harmonics, not on the actual fundamental. The easiest safe move is to keep the core tail mono with utility, and let any stereo movement live in a separate high-pass duplicate if you really need it. But honestly, for this kind of old-school jungle utility sound, a mono core usually wins. If the tail disappears in mono, that's a sign the width was doing the job that the harmonics should have been doing. Indeed, NB, that's backwards. The low end needs to stand on its own. Now, one of the best little coaching tips here is to compare three states at the same volume: dry source, saturated source, and printed source. If the printed version isn't clearly better in the full break context, don't force it. Simplify. A strong sound should feel more believable, not just more processed. And for an extra bit of darkness, don't just think in terms of more distortion. Sometimes a very small filter move or a subtle automation across 4 or 8 bars creates more movement than another drive stage ever could. That's especially true in jungle. The arrangement breathes because the phrase evolves, not because the plugin count goes up. Here's another thing to keep in mind. A good old-school tail should be easier to follow on small speakers, but still leave room for the snare and the break texture. Don't confuse more audible with better. If the tail only works when it's hyped in the top end, it's probably too dependent on fizz. Rebalance it toward the harmonic zone, somewhere in that useful mid-range area where the ear can still lock onto the note. Let's finish with a simple arrangement mindset. Use the tail as a phrase marker. Let it answer the drum pattern. Place it on the end of a 2-bar or 4-bar idea, or use it as the push into a drop. In a classic jungle setup, the bass and the break talk to each other. So if the snare is busy, place the tail just after the impact. Let it feel like the room echoing the hit rather than covering it. You can also build contrast by having two versions ready, a cleaner one for the main groove, and a dirtier, more clipped one for endings or transitions. That contrast gives the section drama without changing the note content. Same idea, different attitude. Very effective. So the recap is this. Trim the 808 tail first, saturate it second, and print it as soon as the tone feels right. Keep the core mono. Keep the decay short enough for jungle phrasing, and use harmonics instead of just brute force volume. The real test is always the full break. If the kick still hits, the snare still snaps, and the tail now feels like a grimy part of the record, you've nailed it. Now go do the exercise. Build one printed saturated tail, place it in an 8-bar loop in at least 2 different positions, and make a shorter version for a filler turnaround. Keep it stock Ableton. Keep it mono compatible. And listen with the drums on. That's how this stops being a trick and starts becoming a proper D&B tool.